Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Shamita Basu, filling in for Allison Stewart. The film critic Pauline Kael was famously not afraid to voice controversial opinions. She thought Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music was too dull and too pure. She wrote that Shoah, a 9-hour documentary about the Holocaust, was sluggish and exhausting. And don't even get her started on Stanley Kubrick, whom she described as determined to be pornographic, and he has no talent for it. Although she's best known for her biting criticism, Kael wasn't just playing the role of a hard-to-please film reviewer. She was following her own compass. And in doing so, she revolutionized film criticism entirely, elevating the medium to an art form at a time when the field was notably dominated by men. Kael's life and work is being examined in a new documentary, What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael. It opens on December 25th at Film Forum. And here to tell us more about it is director and producer Rob Garver, along with film and book critic Craig Seligman and Stephanie Zaharik, film critic for Time. Thank you all of you for being in here. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Rob, maybe you can start by giving us some context. Pauline Kael started writing film reviews for The New Yorker in the late 1960s. How was her style and approach different from what was happening at the time?
Well, in the late 60s, things were just opening up, even though I think the culture musically and in other ways was getting, less inhibited. But Pauline, when she came to The New Yorker in 68, it was still kind of a buttoned-down place. And, I mean, Craig could tell you he worked there, I think, from the 70s. But, Pauline had a lot of pushback because she wrote in a kind of a freewheeling conversational style, which is something that was, she felt was really important in writing about movies, to talk to people personally and to talk about her feelings directly. And, the New Yorker was a little bit more arch, in its approach. So that's what she was up against.
Mm. Craig, maybe you can talk a little bit about how Pauline Kael's work first entered into your worldview and how it may have challenged what came before it.
Sure. Somebody sent me her first book. I lost it at the movies when I was 17 years old.
And you didn't lose the book. That's the title of the book, right? I lost it at the movies.
That's right. Right. The book really took the top of my head off. It's the book that made me want to be a writer. And it made me think about movies and about all art in a different way. It made me think that I could form my own judgments. And I think a lot of people who've written under the sign of Pauline have had the same experience.
Mm. And you, of course, were in the documentary. Stephanie, also, you were in the documentary. Can you talk a bit about Pauline Kael's influence for you?
Well, I started reading her, I think I was like 12 or 13, and my mom would bring home old New Yorkers from her workplace. And I was interested in the cartoons, and I would kind of flip through. And I found movie reviews in the back, and I thought, oh, I'm interested in movies. And I think this ties to what Rob said. Her style was so conversational that I felt, even though, Pauline was an intellectual and a brilliant writer, I was not an intellectual, but I found her writing so evocative and also very easy to understand. I mean, like, the language itself is very simple and clear and straightforward. And so I just started reading this, and I thought, I never thought, oh, this isn't for me, I'm too young for it. I just really took to it.
Mm. And the reputation of her reputation was that she really did come across as quite biting, quite acerbic at times. Do you think that any of that was gendered, or was she really a bit more forceful than those that came before her and were establishing voices in film criticism?
I think she knew she had to fight a little bit harder. I think all of those things were in her character. Like, she was a really strong person with really, really strong ideas. But I think the fact that she was a woman and people... They always look at a woman and expect her to be softer or nicer in some way. And I think she I think she pushed against that without ever even realizing that she was doing it. It was just in her nature. But I think people did find it a little extreme and shocking, and there were a lot of people who didn't like it. And then there were other people who thought, oh, my God, at last.
Mm. I mean, what was it about her writing? I understand that there were some outlets that were reluctant to publish her. What was it about her writing that made the industry as it existed already a bit resistant to her style?
Well, I don't know if it was her style so much as what she said. I mean, she had very contrary opinions. You know, when she got her first job at a big magazine in the mid-60s. She worked for Life and McCall's and Vogue, and you know, her natural inclination was to write long pieces. The thing is, she really wasn't a film critic. She was a writer whose subject was movies.
Mm.
And she enjoyed thinking through, touching on different points of the culture, touching on the psychology of the movie or the characters, and letting all that out. And Pauline came from such a strong background of literature when she was in her teens and 20s. She was just a voracious reader. And I think that's a part of the film I wasn't able to get in as much. But she was so steeped in literature that when she started writing about movies, it was almost like, you know, it was almost like putting a weight on the bat and swinging it before you actually get up to bat, you know. And it was easier. And, you know, she recognized that movies were a shallower art form, I think, than literature.
And she did try her hand at writing, to your point of her being really a writer and artist first. What was her writing like? What was she trying to accomplish with it?
You know, I read a couple parts of her plays that are in her archives, and she...
Right, these were plays. They were plays,
right. Yeah. And she did try to write a couple of things for television and submit them. But I think, you know, her mindset was kind of that of a college student who, you know, the writing really shows, like, she's kind of making her points. I don't think she would be a kind critic to her own stuff, and she probably wasn't. I'm sure she was honest about it. But, you know, she realized that she was not that person, and but she was just fighting so hard during all of her 20s to try to find the kind of writing that she could really throw herself into and be successful at.
And one thing worth noting is there was a lot of hate mail that she received, and you show some of it in the film and sort of her daughter speaking about the kind of hate mail that she received. And I know, well, for one, she did get a lot of hate mail for her review of The Sound of Music. Can you talk a little bit about the criticism that she received from moviegoers and how she was responsive to that?
From the audience?
From the audience, yeah. From readers of her critique.
Yeah, I mean, all through her life, she got a lot of letters from people who loved her writing, people who couldn't stand her writing. And there's a scene in my movie also from famous people like, even Bill Clinton wrote her after one of her reviews that he liked it so much. George Roy Hill, who directed Butch Cassidy, got on Pauline's case because she said something technical that wasn't quite correct. And he threw a few four-letter words in his letter to her. But then, you know, there were people just who were readers or who people who were critics in utero, sort of, like, well, like Stephanie, but before Stephanie, Paul Schrader, Roger Ebert. I mean, she knew all of these people, and she really kind of mentored some of them.
Mm. There was one sequence in the documentary where, Rob, you showed this cascade of all these letters acknowledging Pauline Kael's reviews over the years, and I particularly liked the one from Steven Spielberg. Kael had written this review of Jaws when it came out in 1975. And she made it clear that she thought it was just so funny and so pulpy. And she wrote of the main character, Robert Shaw, an obsessively masculine fisherman is so manly that he wants to get them all killed. He's so manly, he's homicidal. And Spielberg's note to Kael, you show in the film, is short and simple, and I think high praise. He wrote 1,000 reviews later, "You are the only writer who understood Jaws."
Right.
Can you
right.
talk a bit more about how various directors and filmmakers received her criticism and responded to it?
Well, I mean, there's just so many different stories. It's like a kaleidoscope. There, you know, there are people like Spielberg. When she was nice and when she was positive, they loved her. But later on, you know, Pauline was very hard on a lot of Spielberg's films up until the point when she retired. But, you know, she was friends. She was good friends with Sam Peckinpah. She knew Robert Altman and Brian De Palma, but she wasn't friends with them, as a lot of people think she might have been. Mm. But she did like a lot of their work. But also, there's a big misconception about her, is that she, you know, if she liked a director, she was all in for his work. And it's not true at all. She really, there was a famous line about Robert Altman's film where she said, I always look forward to Robert Altman's next film if I don't like his current one, because he's always one on and one off. You know,
so. Wow, that's gotta be tough to hear.
Yeah.
Sam as well. And Woody Allen also, she was pretty hard on Woody Allen, although she really liked a lot of his work, especially his earlier work, right?
Yeah, she really loved Woody Allen's early movies, like most people do. But I think she thought he got a little full of himself later on.
And I think you showed in the film how that did sort of get to him, this awareness of what Pauline Kael was thinking of his newer endeavors.
I think so. I wasn't able to get Woody on camera, but we do have a beautiful clip of him on television from the mid-70s, and they were close friends then.
We're talking about the new documentary, What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Shamita Basu. I'm filling in for Allison Stewart today. We've been speaking with director Rob Garver about his new documentary film, What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael, along with film and book critic Craig Seligman and film critic for Time, Stephanie Zaharik. Now, Craig, I was hoping maybe you could talk about this concept that Kael has, and she seems to really understand the idea of highbrow and lowbrow and the distinctly different functions that they serve, and this idea of trashy movies and the value of trashy movies. She spoke very lovingly about good trash and bad trash. Can you talk a bit about what Kael thought was good trash, what highbrow and lowbrow do?
Sure. Pauline made a distinction between high art and low art, a distinction that it probably no longer exists today. And she felt strongly that a movie didn't have to be high art or fine art for it to be enjoyable or for it to be a lot of fun. And she really resisted the idea of of turning movies into academic study. She felt that movies were a popular art that belonged to us all, and that you didn't need critics to form your opinion of them. You didn't need teachers to form your opinion of them. They belong to us. Mm. And that was what was exciting about them. She hated it when people would take a movie that she considered just a lot of fun and try to argue for it as though it were Shakespeare.
Intellectualize it in
exactly.
some way.
Right. She felt that it was just fine to enjoy a silly movie on its own terms and then go on and enjoy a great movie or opera or whatever. But she did make that distinction. Later in her life, she said, when we defended low culture, popular culture, we didn't realize it was going to become the only culture.
Mm. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that, because you said the distinction is less and less clear, right?
Well, Pauline was really well versed in literature, in philosophy. She loved opera. She loved classical music. She loved all the arts. If you read her reviews, you know that she was well versed in painting as well. She certainly thought that movies were an art on that level. She didn't demean movies or think they were a lesser art, but she thought that, as with novels and paintings and everything else, only a few are really great. Mm. And a movie doesn't have to be great for it to be fun.
I want to go back to this point that we were discussing earlier, Stephanie, which was about Pauline Kael in a very male-dominated environment. There's this great clip with an interviewer where she's asked by a male interviewer, why are you still having to defend being a woman? And here's how she responded.
In the arts, women are accepted. They've always been accepted in the theater. But criticism, since it involves analytic intelligence and the rational use of one's intellect, that hits exactly where men have always wanted to believe that women were less gifted. It's one thing to show sensitivity and talent. I mean, men like that in women. But it is very, very difficult for men to accept the idea that women can argue reasonably.
Craig, I can see that sparked a thought for you.
She wrote a great review of the movie Sparkle and talked about Lonette McKee's character in that movie and said, any woman who has made it to the top has probably been called a bitch at some time in her life.
Stephanie, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how male directors responded to Pauline Kael's criticism.
Well, it's interesting listening to that clip, which I love. And I love the fact that she's speaking that she had that kind of feathery voice that was actually very feminine. And she's saying these things that are so, you know, they're definitive. I think, you know, there are certainly people who are very angry with her, like George Roy Hill. But I actually had an experience. It was late in her life when she was suffering from Parkinson's disease. And my husband at the time and I had driven from Boston, where we were living, to Great Barrington to have lunch with her. And George Roy Hill came into the restaurant, and he also was suffering from Parkinson's. And he came up to talk to her, and they actually embraced. And she said, I understand that you're ill and you have the same thing that I have. Here's the name of a person who Pauline was having these deep tissue massage treatment. And they actually, these two people who had really fought, you know, and she had said not nice things about his movies, and they were like holding hands. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, this, you know, criticism, it is personal when a critic writes about a film that someone has poured his or her whole self into. We all know it's hard to make a film today. It was certainly hard then. But to actually see human interaction beyond that was really special and something that I still think about when I think about her.
There's another story, though, that of the younger Pauline, where she was at a dinner party with the famous artist Hirschfeld and Sidney Lumet. And Hirschfeld said to her, Pauline, what do you see as your job? And she said, my job, and she was pointing at Sidney Lumet, is to tell him what to do. So, you know, she in her prime, she that was her. She was very tough. I know when she got older and, you know, she had some problem, personal relationship thing, she made amends, but in her prime she was tough, and she believed that she was right and that she knew better.
She did. Often. Mostly.
She did know right, you're saying, better than most of us. One thing that I learned from the film is that Pauline had a preference for going and watching these movies with an audience. She didn't like having a private screening all by herself, like some film critics might. What was it about the experience of the audience that factored into her experience of the film and then ultimately her reviews? It's open to any of you. Craig?
Don't you feel it yourself that you'd rather see a comedy or a horror movie with people around you and learn something from their reaction and get off on their reaction rather than just watch it in silence yourself? When Pauline went to a screening, she always took lots of friends with her. And I think it was because she wanted to get a feeling for what was happening in the room in addition to what was happening in her own head.
And another thing about her is that Pauline Kael made no secret about enjoying movies that featured what some might consider scandalous or taboo depictions of sex. And she famously loved the film Last Tango in Paris. And even the titles of many of her books were really quite sexual, or sexual puns at the very least. What was it that Pauline found so fascinating about depictions of sex on screen? And how do you think that was received by the larger film criticism community?
Well, I don't think, I mean, she was asked that question a lot about the titles of her books, and she always talked about the sensuality of film, of the art, that it's a sensual medium, and that, you know, that those are the feelings, primary feelings that come out when you see a movie, that, you know, we often start seeing movies when we're very young and we're going on dates. And, you know, that was kind of always a through line, I think, in her writing. There was that romantic, sensual aspect.
Speaking with the director, Rob Garver, and critics Craig Seligman and Stephanie Zaharik about the new film, What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael. Craig, go ahead.
Sex is such a big part of movies. It's something we obviously all respond to, or it wouldn't be in practically every movie. I think probably because Pauline was a woman, she was more criticized for pointing out the pleasure she took in those scenes than other male critics. But I don't think she was any different from the rest of us. And when the sex wasn't convincing, she was quite ready to say that as well.
And I do think she was bolder in writing about it than a lot of other critics, and certainly men at the time. And that's, you know, it's harder for a woman, I think, to be open about that kind of sensuality or finding that kind of pleasure, as you said, Rob, like in the sensuality of movies. And she just put it all out there.
Rob, tell us why you decided to make the film in the first place. Why give this special attention, the special deeper look to Pauline Kael? She passed away in 2001, I believe, right?
Yes,
so it's been 18 years since she passed.
She passed away a few days before 9/11. But my initial impulse to make a film was because I read her as a kid. I read her in college in the 80s, and, you know, her, at that time I'd started to make my own short movies, and this was a middle-aged woman whose passion was equal to my own. I mean, and it was, you know, full of humor and wit and insight, and it always stayed with me. And I had the idea to make this movie about 5 years ago, and, you know, it struck me that there is no voice like Pauline now because of the internet, because everything is so diffuse, because there are so many voices. There isn't, you know, three or four places that you go regularly. Sometimes there are, if people can be disciplined, I guess, and, you know, do that. But Pauline was unique that way. And, you know, it was like reading her was like not reading a critic. It was like going to see your favorite band in some ways, because, you know, her style and her voice was so distinct and so entertaining. She really was like a performer.
And wicked and funny.
Yeah.
I have one last quick question for you, and I'm sure you asked many of the critics that you spoke to for the film, but how would Pauline Kael look at our current media and film landscape and think about what's coming out today?
Oh, I think she'd be overwhelmed in some ways. I mean, there's just so much, and she might take a whole different topic. Maybe she'd be writing about Trump, you know, and I would love to read her on Trump, but...
She wouldn't be a fan of Marvel movies, I don't think.
That was exactly the question I had.
No.
The Marvel movie, superhero, Disneyfication of the box office.
Yeah,
she would definitely have an opinion.
She would definitely have an opinion. We'll have to leave it there. My guests have been the director, Rob Garver. His new documentary film, What She Said, The Art of Pauline Kael, comes out next month, December 25th.
That's right.
Correct. And I've also been speaking with film and book critic Craig Seligman and film critic for Time, Stephanie Zaharik. Thank you, all of you, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
To speak to you. There's more All of It coming up.